Anybody listing the big names in American poetry is bound to have Walt Whitman either on the list or under consideration for inclusion on it. The creator of the collection Leaves of Grass put a lot of words on paper in the 19th century, and he's remembered for them even if the words themselves may not be close at hand. A resident of our region wants to put Walt Whitman back in the spotlight, literally. Tim Holt is the playwright and performer for a new play, Walking with Walt, opening tonight at College of the Siskiyous in Weed. Tim's a writer, journalist, and folk singer who lives in the Dunsmuir area. He's visited in the past to talk about two other projects, Songs of the Sea and a Pete Seeger tribute. Tim, good to have you back on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good to be here, Jeffrey.
And we also have with us Neil Carpentier Alting, who is the director of the play Walking with Walt, opening tonight. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Tim, let's start with you. Talk about how Walt Whitman came into your field of view.
Well, I'm also a journalist. That's another hat I've worn in the past. And I happened on a total collection of his prose and poetry put out by the Library of America, 20 years or more. And I started reading his autobiography about all his journalism experiences. And it occurred to me, well, you know, maybe I ought to see what all the fuss is about. Let's read some of his poetry, and so, which was also in the collection. And I was just blown away by it. I have to confess to you, Jeffrey, I am not a big fan of poetry. But Whitman had a message. His poetry just had this powerful spirit behind it, and it drew me in. So that, in a nutshell, is how I got acquainted with Walt Whitman and his poetry.
So do I understand you to say that you started reading about him first because he's a journalist or was a journalist as you are?
Yeah. He has a fascinating autobiography. It's called Specimen Days, and he covered mainly the New York area as an editor and as a reporter. So it's a fascinating kind of collection of the anecdotes and stories about journalism in New York. So that's what drew me in at first, yeah.
And he actually started a newspaper or two, didn't he?
He did. He's from Long Island. He was born on Long Island, and he started a newspaper called The Long Islander. And he printed it himself, wrote most of it, and had a good horse and rode 30 miles in a circuit day and night to distribute the paper, and I believe the paper is still in existence there.
Wow, that's amazing. So I know he's revered on Long Island. I lived there till I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
And I have to ask, though, if you were blown away by his poetry, but is he the kind of poet that people tend to feel hot and cold about, not a lot of middle ground?
I'm not sure I can answer that question, Jeffrey. I happen to feel, and one of the reasons I wrote this play is, I think, number one, a lot of people, certainly most people have heard of Walt Whitman, but I suspect that not that many people are acquainted with his poetry. So part of the reason for this play is to introduce Walt Whitman's poetry to people. And, yeah, I think they will be very much taken in by it. I hope the audience is well.
So Neil Carpentier Alting, the director of the play, how did you and Tim end up coming together on the work?
Oh, geez. I think it was a couple of years ago Tim approached me with this idea of producing this play or trying to find a way to bring this play to life. And at that point, I wasn't quite ready to do it. But there was something about the play that intrigued me. And I loved the idea of working with a local artist. And so Tim and I, we ended up meeting at a local place in Dunsmuir, the Wheelhouse, almost a monthly basis.
A lot of cups of coffee.
Right.
Yeah, lots of cups of coffee, and talking about the characters, talking about the play, talking about how all sorts of things, the storytelling and how to really do the translation from, really the page to the stage. How might that work? And then we, the theater faculty here and staff, we really wanted to find a way to cross that bridge from being strictly kind of academic and having traditional college students, and how can we interface with our community. And one of those things is that I'd like to work with local artists. And so so it just felt like we had this project. It was ready to go. And this was just sort of the perfect time to mount the play.
So is it a one-person show? Are there more actors? Help us understand the structure here.
Well, we have 14 members in the cast.
Oh, not a one-person show, then.
Not a one-person. You know, and while there is a lot of poetry, there's also you know, a really sweet love story that's embedded in it, and that's really kind of the basis of the play. And the journey of the protagonist and how art and poetry is you know, unlocked this element in him. You know, so it's very sweet, and it really talks about the role of art in our community and in our own personal lives.
So Tim Holt, help us understand this. This is not really, I mean, squarely about Walt Whitman so much as there's another character, Sam Marler. Tell us about him and his creation.
Yeah, well, so Sam Marler is a hardworking, sturdy dock worker somewhere on the West Coast. It's unspecified exactly where. But so he happens to pick up a copy of Leaves of Grass in the Workman's Shack. And he gets inspired. He reads about, you know, this whole vibrant country that Walt Whitman describes. It's growing westward and just full of energy and this diverse types of people and occupations. And he decides, by God, you know, I'm going to quit my job and put on a pack, you know, grab a pack and walk out the front door and see this country that Walt Whitman is describing. And of course, he's accompanied by Walt Whitman on his journey. And, you know, one thing about Walt Whitman was, although he did kind of hang out with literary types somewhat, he was actually very comfortable with working people. You know, some of his best friends were bus drivers in New York. And so it seemed appropriate to have as a protagonist, you know, just kind of a basic working guy as his companion. And then, as Neil kind of hinted at, it turns out that, you know, the first part of the play is about freedom, you know, getting away from, you know, the workaday world and getting out on the long brown road, as Whitman would put it. But then Sam Marler, who's the dock worker, finds that he's not just getting away from things, not expressing or not experiencing pure freedom, but this journey is leading to something, and that's kind of where the sweet little romance comes in with some difficulties.
We are talking about the play Walking with Walt, written by Tim Holt, who lives in the Dunsmuir area, and put on stage starting tonight at College of the Siskiyous in Weed under the direction of Neil Carpentier Alting. Tim and Neil are our guests on The Exchange, and you can join the conversation here at 800-838-3760. Share your thoughts about Walt Whitman and his poetry and the legacy thereof. 800-838-3760, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Neil, there must be some challenges inherent in a play that does work to showcase poetry. I mean, poetry doesn't really sound like dialogue, and I wonder what kinds of nudges and tweaks you gave Tim on that part of it.
Well, you know, yeah, there's a number of passages that happen in the play, and it's really, you know, embedded in the work. And you're right, it is the major challenge. How do you bring it to life without a slam poetry kind of, you know, we have this sort of negative feeling when we talk about reciting poetry, and how do we bring life to it? And so one is that, you know, truly understand what's being said. And so the language is somewhat flowery. And so you really have to get down to what's the intention? What's the impulse behind the line? And then look at the word choices, and then be able to accent or accentuate those word choices and sometimes physicalize them, help depict them for the audience. So it's not just a word, but it's a concept. It's you know, it's feelings, it's emotions that come through with these words. And that's really what we're going for, and how to bring that poetry to life.
Tim, did some of your favorite pieces end up on the cutting room floor, so to speak, in terms of the poetry of Walt Whitman?
Well, let me answer that question a little more generally. What I've discovered, and I've been working on this play for at least 10 years now, and it's gone through staged readings and all sorts of things. And what you discover, yeah, is that as you go from the page to the stage, lines that look great on paper, you know, can really not sound that good when they are, you know, spoken by an actor. So, and this latest, this of course is the where the play really is coming to life in this production at COS. You know, I'm really able to see when you have good acting whether, you know, it's a problem with the actor or the line. In this case, it's not so much a problem with the actor. So if the line doesn't sound good, then yeah, it has to go. And we've done some, as Neil can tell you, we've done some cutting and revising and so forth as we've gone through rehearsals.
Tim, I haven't asked this directly. You're in the play. Are you playing Walt Whitman?
I am.
All right. Did you have to grow a fuller beard for this?
No. Is that a joke? Let me just say that I don't have a real long acting career, but for the past 3 or 4 years, I have been doing a one-person show as Walt Whitman. So it wasn't that difficult to segue into this role.
Now, Walt Whitman's poetry often exalted the human spirit, but he was not at all apparently blind to our dark sides and urges. And how frankly did he express those, Tim?
Well, for his era, we're talking like, you know, the first edition of Leaves of Grass appeared in 1855, when, you know, the Puritans kind of ruled the mores of our society. So his expressions of simple lust and love and so forth, you know, were shocking to many people. But, you know, Jeffrey, I wouldn't call it the dark side. He felt his whole thing with the poetry of the body, the poetry of sex, was that this was all perfectly natural as part of being a human being. And he felt that the censors were the ones with filthy minds, actually.
So did his poetry fall out of favor for a time? Did it come back after he was gone from the planet?
I think what happened was that there was a gradual, at first it was almost like a cult following, you know. Leaves of Grass, I think during his lifetime, went through about 6 editions. So, you know, there were people picking it up, but not a mass audience by any means. I do recall reading that by the 1870s, his poetry was being published in mainstream publications like Harper's. But it was still this kind of East Coast establishment, intellectual establishment, that just thought he was a little too rough. He was not refined enough. And it wasn't until the 1920s, you know, when there was a more general, I guess you could say, sexual liberation in our society, that he began to gain really widespread acceptance, you know, and a readership.
Interesting. So he'd been dead for a couple of decades, but then when the Roaring Twenties, in some sense...
Yeah, in his lifetime, Leaves of Grass was really not widely accepted.
So Neil, before we go, give the casual observer who might not know much about Walt Whitman and his work an idea what to expect on stage at College of the Siskiyous.
We're setting it in an intimate setting, and so we are closing the grand drape and we're putting the audience on the stage. With suggestive scenery and lighting, but fully realized with costumes, and you know, full production values. But the intimate setting is really nice. So the audience and the actors are right in the same room, which I think really lends itself to the work, which is a very intimate, personal journey.
And how many performances of Walking with Walt? It opens tonight. I see September 16th, your last show. Is it 3 times a weekend?
That's right. So Friday, Saturday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 3 o'clock.
All right. So Walking with Walt, the creation of Tim Holt with help from director Neil Carpentier-Alting, going on its feet starting tonight at the College of the Siskiyous in Weed. Thank you, Tim Holt. Thank you, Neil Carpentier-Alting, for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.